The finals are finally here.
Well, not for a couple days, because they haven't scheduled, like, the conference finals where are going to be real series instead of fake sham series that would only go 4 or 5 games.
Boring conference finals. Like, all the games are actually pretty close.
Yeah, but there was, like, not that many. I think there was, like, 1 or 2 blowouts between the two series. Yeah. And other than that, all the games were really good. But
Even the sweep, like, it felt like every game was pretty close, and then Indiana would blow it at the end. And then it wouldn't feel like. But it never felt that close.
Do you know 3 out of the 4 games of that series? You know how there's, like, the percent to win, like, that they show, like, partway through games? Indiana got as high as 90% in 3 out of the 4 games.
Wow. I mean, like, their first game was, like,
unforgivable.
Insane. Yeah, that was unlosable.
The fourth one is, like, the most, like, understandable, because they were up, but they were only up a bit in the fourth quarter, and it was, like, kind of a back-and-forth game. Even the third one, I would be, like, very sad as that team to blow that.
Yeah.
I guess we'll start with that series. Sad. Well, with Indiana, it's too bad. I wanted them to go through really badly, but
we knew what was going to happen.
We're better off as a league that Boston won that series.
Yeah, we're gonna be honestly, it would be a boring-ass finals if, like, Dallas just stomped Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I have some fun facts about Boston for later in the podcast, but we'll do the Indiana eulogy first. It's another team. I feel like every round there's one team that's like this where they lose, and it's like, this is, like, sick for them. Like, making the conference finals, who cares?
Playing with house money.
Yeah, for sure. The big thing, the scary thing for them is what happened to Atlanta when they made the conference finals.
Where they think they're better than they are.
I think the main difference is, like, who's the second best player on the Atlanta team? Like, probably John Collins the year that they went to the conference finals. Maybe Clint Capella. And, like, Pascal Siakam clears
maybe
those
Hunter.
Guys. Yeah, maybe Hunter, but, like, Pascal Siakam clears those guys, and, like, Nembhard is young and looks good. Naismith is young and looks good. They didn't even have Mathurin in this series.
Right.
Like, they got Jalen Smith is going to be good in the future. They've got, I was going to say Obi Toppin, but I don't think he's that young anymore.
Right.
But they got tons of pieces.
Yeah, he's RJ draft, right?
Yeah.
Or, actually, no, that wouldn't make he's my probably sense. The year after. Would get those two picks.
He's probably the year after, but something tells me that he wasn't, like, a 19-year-old coming out.
Yeah,
he feels old for somebody who hasn't been in the league for that long.
Nembhard looks so good, though, that it's like, is Haliburton even that good, or is this system just, like, designed for it?
I'm actually going the opposite way on that. Nembhard looks so good that they shouldn't try and push for another star. That's your third star for the future.
Think?
Like, I think that he could be, it could be, like, he could be the Tyrese Haliburton to Haliburton's De'Aaron Fox, is what we could be looking
but
at.
But that never really worked. Like, I don't know. Neither one of them is, like, a two guard.
No, but they both shoot well enough, is the nice thing, from three. They're both actually really good catch-and-shoot players.
True.
And I think the nice part about that is that they got playmaking at the four, too. Like, having two playmaking guards, for some reason, makes sense the more that your forwards can playmake. Because you just have a whole playmaking offense instead of two different guys who just have to initiate everything, and it feels like it plays through one or the other.
Like the way Lively is to Luka and Kyrie?
Yeah, like, he can help with a lot of that stuff. And, I think, and Turner looked good, and
Turner looks good.
In the playoffs. He fits with that team well. Indiana looks great. Good job, Indiana.
Yeah. It was going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Conference finals pretty good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I thought Haliburton wasn't even that good in the playoffs. Like, he was fine.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he had his games.
I mean, he had a great game 7 against the Knicks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, if we're listing off, like, best performances by guard, like, pound for pound for, like, every single game that they played, like, Luka's been better. Kyrie's probably been better.
Brunson,
Shea. I thought Maxey was better in the games that he played. I thought Lillard, even though he only played 3 or 4 games, had a better playoffs.
Yeah, he was really good.
Mitchell was better in the playoffs. Like, there's lots of guards that he needs to pass up. And I think
you
will
even get to Brown.
Yeah,
White.
Brown, White. Drew Holiday, you could even make a case for him.
Drew Holiday was actually really good this series.
Yeah, I thought he made some really key plays.
I think he showed everyone that I think he is still better than White on defense.
Yeah, for sure. But I think White's closer to him on defense than Drew is to White on offense. White is crazy from three, though.
Yeah.
He is insane from three. But I like Drew. The difference between those two guys is, like, Drew's, like, 34, probably 33 years old. Like, he's starting to get into the part of his career where it's nice that he doesn't have to be the third best guy on the floor every single night. Like, in Milwaukee, it was like, he had to be the third guy.
Right, like, he had to be the second guy a lot of times.
Because after him, it was Lopez. And, like, Lopez is good for, like, one game, I'd say, every two playoff series, where he can give you, like, real top two scoring numbers. And right. Other than that, you're not going to... He gives you good defense, but, like, he had to do a lot of stuff for that team. And it's nice to see him in a smaller role. That's why that team's so freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, that team's insane. Like, Tatum, I haven't even feel like has been that good this playoffs in general. Like, he's been fine. And, like, they're dominating everyone.
I thought that way. I will say he was really good in this Pacers series. I thought in the fourth quarters... Well, in that quarters,
game three or whatever?
Yeah, and I just thought in fourth quarters and overtimes, the overtime of the first game and then fourth quarters after that,
yeah.
I thought he kind of always would just put his foot down, like, get to the rim, grab boards, like, do the thing.
He does grab boards. He swallows up some boards.
Yeah, he's a really, like, really good at grabbing boards for, like, a four. Yeah, Boston's good. They're going to be in the finals. I
was trying to think of a joke. Who grabs boards? Deckhand is the best I can do. But then the West, one of the most disappointing series. We expected so much from it. Us included. And the T-Wolves kind of just, I guess, aren't that good. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Or is Luka just that different?
Dallas did to the T-Wolves what the T-Wolves did to Phoenix in the first round. Right. Where I was like so pumped for a playoff series, and then it's like, oh, well.
Yeah, one team is just better.
Yeah, this team is just way better. I mean, Minnesota, there's a bit of a feeling of like, whatever, like, we're young. They will have to trade. Probably Cat would be my pick to trade. I mean, they can trade Gobert as well. The thing is Naz Reid's got to start. McDaniels has got to start. So that's two of your front court members.
Right.
And just with the money problems that they have, one of those centers should go. And I think Kat gets paid like $15 million more than Gobert starting next year. When his,
but he's like one of the most tenured players in the league for one team. Like, I don't know.
We traded DeRozan.
Yeah, but...
We traded DeRozan. He was a bigger part of our organization than Kat is about that. I think you just need a trade. Like you just need a trade. At this point, you're good enough that you can't think that way anymore.
Right. You need to make moves to win championships.
For sure. Yeah. At this point, it's just fuck it. Like we gotta make real moves. It's not like Sacramento a couple years ago where it's like we gotta keep Fox because like he's been our team for so long. Like that team wasn't that close. This team's close. Like even though this Dallas series didn't work out the way they wanted it to, like. They're really close, and they need to move bigs to get more guard play, because I just don't think... Like, Conley was good in this playoffs, but I just would like a better starting point guard on the defensive end there, and I don't think Nikhil... I would be worried about giving Nikhil those minutes. I think he looks really good as a bench player, but, like, I don't know what the ceiling is if he was to start for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, offensively, he's just such a liability.
Yeah, I mean, he can shoot the three ball, but, like... That's his best skill, and he's okay at it.
Right, exactly. He's okay. Exactly.
So, yeah, I would try and see what they could get on the market. Probably more defensive-minded guard, even though those aren't super easy to come by.
Right.
But because they still need a playmaker bit. I mean, depending on how much you think DeJounte Murray's problems are...
Situation based
on the defensive end, that could be a really good fit there, and a player who could become available. Bro, if they trade Trae Young in Atlanta, I mean, we've been over this. It's so dumb. And at least if they keep DeJounte,
oh my god, if they traded DeJounte for Cat, Atlanta would have like such an insane offense.
Yeah, their defense would suck much, man.
Yeah,
it would suck
for real.
So much. Unless they would run Cat at the four still and play Capella at the five still, and then I guess, yeah, like. But yeah, like maybe you could work out a Cat DeJounte kind of deal. Probably got to send a little more Minnesota's way, but like not that much because Cat's contract is going to get pretty bad pretty quick.
Yeah,
like DeJounte's getting paid like 26 a year, I believe, and Cat is about to jump up to about 50 starting like next year. And 50 for Cat is, I mean, it works in Minnesota because they're so good.
How does he get 50? He's not an All NBA guy. Is it just because the tenure?
Yeah, I think it's just tenure. Because I think he's got, like once you get, like, 8 years, like, the tenure shit becomes crazy extensions, especially with the same team. Like,
But a lot of that is tax-exempt, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, there's some sort of... I know that they changed the rules a while back after the KD situation, because they wanted to make people want to stay on their OG team.
Right.
Yeah, And I mean,
who knows? We'll look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into it. I'll crunch the numbers. But we don't need to talk about Minnesota's cap right now because they just played games. And they're just not quite there. But you know,
also I think we as a community were too quick on Anton Edwards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was a little quick on Anton Edwards myself.
Yeah, me too.
I will take the blame for that.
Well, like honestly, people have said he's so good, like all in the regular season stuff. And I was like, I just don't think he's that good. And then this playoffs had me convinced. I was there too.
Yeah, I would even say that he's probably not a top 10 player in the league right now.
I mean,
he's close.
I'm thinking about it, and we'll get to it. Tatum might not be a top 10 player in the league.
I think Tatum's better than Ant right now, though.
Right.
Yeah. Like right this second. I mean, I'd rather have
like, Ant. They're in, like, this ballpark to me with, like, Booker and Mitchell. Like, that area. Player.
The thing that frees up a space in the top 10 for them, for me, is I think Durant has officially dropped out of my top 10 with this playoff run this year. I think Durant's just gone.
Is Kawhi also not in your top 10?
He might drop out. Like, the thing with Kawhi is, like, when he plays, he looks great. But if you never fucking play, sorry, buddy. Like, you don't get to be there. There's a reason that Zion isn't in top 15 discussions, even though whenever he plays, like, he dropped 40 in that one playing game.
Yeah, in the playing
when
game.
When he plays, he looks as good as any player on the planet.
He didn't even finish that game.
Yeah,
he got injured at the end.
If you don't play, like, you're not great. Like, not that you're not great, but you drop a lot of spots. Like,
compared to someone like Tatum, who plays all the time.
Like, we were just talking about, like, a one guard that shoots threes and plays great defense for Minnesota. You know who would do that is Lonzo Ball. But we're not even going to start that discussion because I would never in a billion years trade for Lonzo Ball right now.
For sure. True. That's true. But we can get to it eventually. But what is so special about Dallas? Is it just, like, Luka finally just needed, like, someone like Kyrie?
I just think, like, if you're close with them in the last few minutes of a game, they've just got too much clutch shot making.
That's true. That's true. And, yeah, because, like, their role players have been good, but, like people are talking about, like, how, like, I heard some people talking about that their role players aren't going to shoot this good again. But, like, they're shooting fine. They're shooting, like, 33% from three. Like, P.J. Washington and, like, Jones and stuff.
And,
like,
they get no creation outside of those two main guys. Like, Derrick Jones Jr. doesn't create shit for himself.
Exactly.
P.J. Washington creates a very small amount.
Right.
Lively is nice for a rookie center, but that's just because he is a rookie center.
Exactly.
Gafford doesn't create anything for himself. Like, I mean, we'll talk about this more in the future, but it's crazy that Tim Hardaway Jr. has been a zero for them this playoffs, and it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Like, at all. Because you would think that his bench...
He was, like, their second best player when they made the conference finals.
Yeah, and he was always a good playoff performer for them, and now he's gone. He's forever.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, Dante Exum gets more minutes than him.
Yeah. That's crazy. Josh Green, you get two, right?
Yeah, Josh Green gets lots of... Even, like, Jan Hardy,
I feel like he's
minutes.
Not that good, though.
He messes up a lot. I like his hustle, though. Like, he gives a fuck. Like, but he's, like... He seems more, like bright-eyed young player than Lively
lost.
Does. Like, he seems like...
True.
He seems
actually
like a real
true.
Rookie out there, like, in a way. Like, Lively, in a lot of moments, seems, like calm. And, like,
I know.
Making smart plays and stuff. And,
for real. Yeah, he does not... But I think that's more Lively. Like, Lively really... It's crazy the way he is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it shows incentive, like, for teams to tank at the end of the season. Because, like, everyone crapped on Dallas for tanking at the end of last season. But that was the right call for them. Like, you'd rather do that than play in the plan. I mean...
Right,
like,
exactly.
So... Which sucks that the team gets benefits from tanking. It's like OKC being good right now after just hoarding draft picks for years.
Right.
And it's like
I mean, but what's the alternative? The good teams have an equal chance?
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Whatever.
Who do you have in the finals?
Every team I cheer for loses, so I think Dallas is going to win the finals.
Oh, okay. Interesting. You think that or you want them to?
No, I want Boston to win. But literally every team I've cheered for in the past, like,
oh, interesting.
Like a little bit
I'm
loses,
so flipped.
So
I want
really
Dallas, but I really think it's just Boston.
Yeah, I mean, you're just on opposite wavelengths.
I mean, the only one thing, like, this is what I was saying before, is you were talking about previous finals MVPs. Like, it's like Jokic, Giannis, Kawhi, Durant, Curry, LeBron, a bunch. Like, Luka makes sense in that category. Like, Tatum just doesn't feel right, like, compared to those names. Like, when I think top 10 players, it's like Luka, Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, Curry. I still think LeBron. I still think Durant, personally. I think Anthony Davis is up there. Am I missing anyone big? There's Kawhi, too. But Kawhi, honestly...
What do you think about Shaq?
Oh, and I think Shea. Yeah, that's it. I definitely think Shea's better than
that. That was a point I should have brought up earlier, is that, like, Ant Edwards is, like, pretty clearly worse than Shea Gilgeous Alexander, right? For sure. In the guard pecking order in the league.
I mean, he's also just younger, right? Like, Shea's in the Luka draft class.
Yeah.
So
not that much. He's, like, probably 2 years younger?
Yeah, I think, like, 2 years. But still, like, that's nice. That's important. Like, Shea 2 years ago is probably worse than Ant is now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, like, Tatum 2 years ago is as good as Shea is now. And Tatum, like, now is as good as Shea is now.
Right.
If not a little bit worse. Like,
I think he's a little worse than Shea. But, yeah. And then it's, like, Tatum is, like, probably your 10th. Maybe he's, like, 9th if you want to take out Durant or something.
Yeah.
But then there's still, like, Booker's, like, really good. I don't know. It's all fluid.
You never lived through the horrors of seeing Andre Iguodala win a Finals MVP.
True. But, like, that was Curry's team still. Like,
yeah,
Curry was the best member of that team. So, even though, like, he literally got the award, we all knew Curry was the reason that they were like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the only thing that is giving me hope that Dallas will win. But, like, Boston just seems unstoppable. And even though, like, people, like, give them shit that they were, like, close against the Pacers. But, like... They like won all those games. They swept them. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like that's nice. And especially like the comeback stuff. Like obviously, like I also hate when Jaylen Brown will just like start chucking up like stupid threes. And like I really feel like it like ruins their offense. They get into these slumps. But like I still think they're gonna win. And that's all assuming Porzingis doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
If Porzingis is like playing and good, like obviously he's probably not gonna be that good if he plays, you'd imagine. Mm-hmm. Like having not played for so long. But if he's playing, it's like I think the series is so over. It might be like a repeat of the conference finals.
As I said, every time I want a team to win, they lose. I want Indiana to win. I want Minnesota to win. I want OKC to win. I want Denver to win in those series.
Right.
No team that I like wins. Indiana beating New York was nice.
Okay.
I wanted Cleveland to beat Boston. Like just not been good. I want Philly to beat New York. Like, there's just so many teams that I've been cheering for. I wanted the freaking Clippers to beat Dallas. Like,
yeah. I was with you there.
It's bad. It's been a bad year for me.
But I mean, like, once Denver was gone, you, like, wanted a team, but not, like, that bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, you were
fine. I, like, kind of was really invested in Indiana. I let myself have hope. Like, whenever they were up late in games, I was like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And after they let me down, literally. And
Pascal's playing well.
Yeah, I mean, he's the same as he was in Toronto. He's like, a great, like, the first 45 minutes of the game, he's great.
Exactly,
like, He's, like, one of the worst clutch stars I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, honestly, 100%. That's very true. Ah, man. Yeah, if we just had, like, a Chris Middleton type on our team. Like, a second star that could, like, take those clutch shots. I mean, obviously not a Chris Middleton, though, because we had too many of that type of position.
Shit, I would have taken Chris Middleton. I would have taken anybody. Anybody taking those shots on our team. We had fucking Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
Brother. Not good. Hopefully Scotty can develop into a good clutch guy.
Mm-hmm. I think Gary's okay. But that he's not winning a series.
I think if Gary's in your finishing lineup, you're never in a million years winning a championship. Like watching playoff basketball and watching Gary Trent Jr. Like it's just not.
I know. Like it's actually so crazy how different playoff basketball is.
Yeah.
Like there's so many teams that's like, yeah, you're pretty good, but it's like you're never gonna win 4 series in a row. Like I don't think Atlanta's ever winning 4 series in a row, no matter how good. Like Cleveland, same thing.
Sacramento.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Which kills me. I love Sacramento. But, like, if Fox and Sabonis are your two guys, like, that's not happening.
Right.
Surely that's not. Like they can ascend as much as they want.
Yeah, like, they can make the conference finals easily.
It even feels like Fox and Sabonis are both better than what anybody would have expected from either of them 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're still, like, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
For real.
That's why San Antonio's got to put a good team around Wembanyama. Because you don't get good players that often, and if they fuck that situation up... Like, if Wembanyama... Next year, they get one more pass.
And they probably should, because it's a good draft class.
Yeah. Next year, they get another pass. But if he plays out this 4-year rookie contract and plays no playoff games, I don't give a fuck about the play-in. Like, playoff, like, series.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you actually doing as an organization?
Especially, like, looking at someone like Luka, when you've, like, played already professional basketball, like, for many years, it's not like you're, like, in college against, like, kids. Like, I think playing against, like, adults, like, really, like, evolves them quickly. Because they both came in, like, so good, so quick.
And even, like Luka has been to the conference finals. And Kyrie has played more clutch, like, more big games than most players in the league.
Yeah.
And then you see Edwards, who hasn't played a game past the first round until this year. And Kat, who hasn't played a game past the first round this year. And Gobert, who hasn't played a game past the second round until this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a difference, you know? Like, there's a difference between playoffs and regular season basketball, and then there's a difference between round one and the fucking conference finals. Once it gets to, like, these last few series, like, you just have to play such a tight brand of basketball. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's tough, you know? But every young team has the bumps and bruises. Like,
right. There's a reason it's, like, no young team wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. There's a reason that, and that's what we should have remembered when we were talking about this Timberwolves team, is how young their star was and how young this team is.
Mm-hmm.
I
think we were just optimistic, though, because it was, like, such a weird conference finals, because it had, like, no MVPs, like, new champion was going to be guaranteed already by the conference finals. So we're like, oh, well, this, if any year could happen, it could be this year. But that's why I really think it's going to be Boston. Like, mm-hmm. all that experience for so many years. The only thing is, like, I don't know how long Al Horford can keep going on. If they don't win it this year, like, that might be tough.
I think if they can get a full run out of Porzingis next year, which is a huge if, I think that would make things way easier for Al Horford. But, if Porzingis is hurt in the playoffs next year, like, there's no shot.
Yeah.
Al Horford's doing this again. But he looks great this year.
I know, still. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Al Horford is similar to what I was saying about Mike Conley with Minnesota. And it's just, like, with those dudes, you have to have a contingency plan. And it's really scary when you don't. Because, like, once you're over 35, like,
mm-hmm.
that drop can come at any fucking time.
Right.
Like,
look what happened to Chris Paul. Like, he was, like, a finals team, and then now he's, like, a bench player to a team that didn't even make the play.
Well, like, shit, like, Kyle Lowry, when that team went to the conference finals, like, 2 years ago, was a big part of that conference finals team.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, they went to the finals, and it was like, oh, maybe Gabe Vincent's better than Kyle Lowry.
Right.
And then this year, like...
he is better.
It was over. Well, I don't know if Gabe Vincent also took a step back. He was not a big part of that Lakers team. Honestly, Kyle Lowry looked good in the playoff run.
I know. He played
better than I would have expected. But at the same... like, it's...
but like, not that good. Like, they weren't... Like, he wasn't getting that many minutes.
Yeah, and they weren't, like, winning games. He was... he was getting... him and Nick Batum, as, like, over 35-year-olds, were getting a concerning amount of minutes. For that Philly team, it was, like... you could kind of tell that they punted for next season.
Right.
When they got, like, their big pickup was Buddy Hield. And part of this is revisionist, just from how bad Buddy Hield looked in the playoffs. But, like, still, like, if Buddy Hield is the thing to put around Maxine Embiid.
Right.
Like, obviously, you're kind of being like, hey, let's see what free agency looks like this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. Hopefully, Philly adds something in free agency. I want that team to be good.
For sure.
I have two fun lists.
Okay.
For you. Unless you have any more thoughts about any of these four teams. We can give more... some of these things have to pertain to these teams, so...
not really.
Okay. Well, my two lists are 10 players that my opinion has increased the most of through these playoffs, and 10 players that my opinion has decreased the most of through these playoffs. I'll do decreased first, so we can have good vibes to end it. I'll go 10-1.
That's better.
Number 10 is Patrick Beverley as a man. He was fine in the playoffs, but, like... I'm going to have a hard time cheering for him in the future.
Right. I do not want him on my team.
Number 9 is Gordon Hayward. I really thought that there was a little more juice for him.
I know. I thought that was going
to
be a big move.
He'd be able to be, like, a vet. But now, like, he's a free agent this summer. And, like,
he's going to go to the Lakers.
I just don't think it's a factor. Yeah, he's going to go to the Lakers. He could be, like, when Trevor Ariza went to the Lakers.
Yeah,
He's not going to be a factor in any team he goes to. Next is Spencer Dinwiddie, who did go to the Lakers and then didn't do anything in the playoffs.
Right.
I was like, oh, Spencer Dinwiddie could be a good sixth man.
Didn't he have, like, one really good game or something?
In the playoffs, he averaged 3 points per game on 36, 25, 50 shooting.
Wow, okay, I don't remember that.
Spencer Dinwiddie, I kind of thought there was a little more juice there, but there's not. Next is Markelle Fultz, who averaged 6 points and one assist in the playoffs. I kind of thought, like, he had an injury-plagued season. There's been a few years where I'm like, maybe he's, like, figured out.
Turning
the corner. But no, he's, like, I would really be... he's a free agent this summer. And I wouldn't give him more than the minimum if I was a team. I wouldn't pencil him in, like, unless I'm, like, freaking, like, if I'm San Antonio, maybe I roll the dice.
Oh, yeah, like, actually, $10 million. Yeah, maybe.
But, like, he's so bad.
Just to give a point guard.
Yeah. Next is Tim Hardaway Jr., who we talked about earlier.
Right.
For years, I thought he was, like, a solid role player on this team. Really good.
Right.
But now, like, you look at the $20 million he gets paid per year, and it's like, fuck, they're not going to be able to move him. I think that contract's done after next year, but it's like, oh, man, like.
Yeah, not even, like, solid role player, like, good starter.
Yeah, and now he's a nothing, literally a nothing.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
Next is Buddy Hield. But I thought that pickup was, like, nice for Philly.
I think he should be a little lower on the list. He had a really, really good game six.
I mean, he averaged 13 minutes per game in the playoffs and missed a game.
Like, yeah,
he was playing bench.
Only missed one. I thought he missed two, honestly.
No, he only missed one.
Okay. He got very limited minutes then in a couple. Because I know, yeah, Nurse was not playing at all.
Next is his teammate, Tobias Harris. 9 points per game on 43-33. 100 splits. 100 from the free throw. Then it's a free throw. He should have fucking banged more. He should have got in there.
I was looking at, though, like, this is, like, his one really bad series. Like, Tobias Harris is actually pretty decent in the playoffs overall. Like, I was thinking Tobias Harris just ass in the playoffs, like, especially when the Philly series happened. But I remember I was looking at the numbers, I was like, he's actually pretty good in the playoffs. But this year, he was ass.
If the Detroit Pistons use their cap space and he's the biggest guy that they pick up this summer, over, under, like, 28 wins.
Ooh, 28's a lot. Like, but they win, like, 17?
No, like, 14, 15.
I thought your over-under was going to be 20, and I was going to go over.
I was thinking 25, and then I was like, I might inch this a bit higher, because, teams just start. Like, Cade was kind of hurt this year.
Yeah. You assume they'll be able to.
But, yeah, Tobias Harris, I'd be very worried about giving him more than, like, 20, 25 million this off. I think OKC is actually a good pick. Would be a good team for him because they have the money for him, and it means that you could move on from Josh Giddey and insert him as your power forward in that lineup.
Oh, true.
Which would give them a vet, which I feel like they could use a vet. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty good.
The next player that I think lower of is D'Angelo Russell with his 38, 32, 50 splits in the playoffs. I was out on him last year, 2 years ago.
In the closeout game? Is that right?
Yeah, he had zero. On, like, 0 for, like, 9 or 0 for 12. Like, he took a lot of shots.
He was getting booed by, like, and they were at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Booed at home? Yep.
I was out on him, like, a couple years ago, and then last year, and, like, this year, I was like, man, D'Lo's kind of, like, figured out how to be a good role player. He's not. He's another dude who's a free agent, and, like, oh, no, he has a player option, which I think he'll pick up.
Right, okay. Yeah, it was a weird narrative, because the Lakers were like, oh, yeah, we gotta trade D'Lo, and then it's like, oh, nice, D'Lo is playing up his trade value, maybe we'll get a decent piece for it. And it's like, oh, they didn't trade D'Lo. You know what? Honestly, he's playing so good that, like, that's fine. And then, yeah, going into the playoffs, and then he was so bad in the playoffs.
He was really bad. The next player for me is Darius Garland at number 2. He averaged 16 points, 6 assists in the playoffs, which is fine. 43, 35, 81, which is fine.
Right, but you're supposed to be the second best player.
And he's been in a few playoff, like, series before now. And every time he gets to the playoffs, he's just like, man, you don't really notice him at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's a lot of talk about maybe a new scenario for him, and maybe a new scenario will switch it around. The players I think lower of isn't ranked by how much lower I think of them. It's by how good they are. Right. And then, like, so, okay. You know,
Send him to Utah. Bring back Sexland.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Unless you want a Markkanen reunion over there, which I don't think that would even be enough for Markkanen.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with Garland. But I don't think he can be on that team next year. I would look very hard into trading him. I wouldn't trade him. I don't think he needs to be off the team bad enough that, like, I wouldn't do a panic trade with him. But I would seriously look
shop him around.
Yeah, for sure. Like, be like, hey, Brooklyn, Mikal Bridges.
No way.
Garland, we probably have another pick or two to give you. We're in Cleveland and Mitchell might leave, so our future picks are going to be really fucking good.
Like, that's true, actually. That's a good point.
That's what I'd be doing.
And oh, I just found out today that the Sixers drafted and traded fucking, who were we just talking about? Bridges.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who's from, like, Philadelphia.
Yeah, who's from Philly.
Yeah.
What? He would have been so fucking good for them.
But they did keep Markel Fultz, though, with the first pick.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
They got something. And they kept Matisse Thybulle. So, like, you know, they had some pretty good draft picks around that time.
So their backcourt's locked up.
Yeah, I could get why Furkan Korkmaz. You know, we already got dudes on the team to fill that role.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, what a fumble. The last player who I think lower of is Brandon Ingram. Ooh, 14 points per game. Oh, third wow. most points per game on his team behind CJ and Valanciunas.
Wow, CJ beat him? I knew Val beat him, but CJ?
They're thinking of shopping him this offseason, and I very much would. You need to put a better team. Like, CJ and Brandon Ingram can't be the two players around Zion. Right. And when he had that first playoff series a few years ago, I was like, oh, Brandon Ingram, like, he might be a big deal. But he's like... He's like a CJ McCollum, where he's like not good enough to be an all-star, but like he's probably going to be that forever. He's probably going to be that.
But
like,
a good starter.
Yeah, good starter. But like honestly, like a shot profile of a star when he's not actually a star, which is a little troubling.
Well, I keep seeing him being tied to the Hawks, because that seems perfect for both teams.
For sure. I didn't expect him to beat OKC, but like that was easily the least competitive series of this playoffs. Like really, and like even the games where it was competitive, like it was a lot of Valanciunas against Chet.
Wasn't it just the game?
Yeah, I think it was game one was close, and then they got like really close. Yeah. Rip. Sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's go to players that I think higher of. First, at number 10 is Obi Toppin.
Sick.
I kind of always thought he was like, just like, he just dunks and is kind of bad. Like, why do people like actually think that he's a good role player? I was wrong.
He's pretty good.
Next is Josh Hart, his former teammate.
True.
I always liked him as a role player, but like, holy shit. Like I know. He's almost untradeable if you're new. He's not actually untradeable, because that's another like... You know, if you could get like a Mikal Bridges or something, although you'd kind of want to keep him around if you're going to get Mikal Bridges for the Villanova stuff.
Well, like, I mean, also it's like a star player's best friend. It's like kind of Chris Middleton's untradeable because Giannis loves him so much.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, Josh Hart, and the next one's Dante DiVincenzo. So those two kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah,
Dante, I think even higher up than Josh Hart. Like Dante looked great. I thought he was good in Golden State when he was the backup guard there a couple years ago.
Right. Does he have a ring with Milwaukee?
No. No, oh, okay. They trade him for Serge Ibaka, who I think they cut before they got the ring.
Damn.
Dante DiVincenzo looked great. Next is Andrew Nembhard. Is the next player that I think a lot higher of. I'm excited. It sounds like he will play for Team Canada. Because exit thing, Carlisle was talking about him, and he was like, yeah, it sounds like he'll be playing for Team Canada in August. So.
Nice.
Hopefully he will, and he will get minutes for Team Canada now, and we'll make things really interesting, because, like, we talked about Nikhil Alexander-Walker earlier, and, like, I feel like Nembhard can just do that role, but better. Like, bench, first guard off the bench kind of deal.
Right, maybe Dort you'd want. I mean, it kind of depends. You probably want Nembhard. Nembhard's better than Dort, but it depends on the matchup.
Like, Dort has a bit of overlap. Dort is less important to us because we have Brooks on the team as well. Like, we already have your main, like, stopper, like, wing dude. And for, like,
I think Dort's better, but yeah.
I think he's a better defensive player. But I think Brooks is much better offensively. I mean, he should average 18 points per game in FIBA last year, fresh shooting like 57%.
He was nice for FIBA. We were loving Brooks.
Next is Naz Reid.
Oh my god, yeah.
I kind of was always like, he's good, but like people would be like, Naz Reid, like best like six man in the league, like he's so sick, and I was like, he's one of the better six man in the league, but he's a six man. Like I can see why he plays off the bench, and he should start. You got to move one of the other bigs. Especially with their money crunch coming up. Like, it makes no sense to not start Naz Reid next season.
Is he young? Could you trade him?
Yeah, but he's not making that much money. Yeah, he's like 16 a year.
Right. Yeah, they need to get off the big money.
So. Yeah. Next is Miles Turner. Miles Turner, I also, kind of like Obi Toppin, always thought he was a little bit fake.
Right.
Like I was like, he puts up good stats, but that team, like...
Well, I swear he was fake. Series. I swear he wasn't this good of a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
I've looked at the numbers. Like, they don't lie. But I guess...
He looked great.
Like, really, like, really good.
He was a huge part of them making this deep run. I was very impressed by him. Next is Paolo Banchero. I always really liked Paolo Banchero, but for him in his first playoff series in his second year to look like that, like he looked like a superstar. Like that is a really good sign for him, because that's what Ant Edwards looked like 2 years ago, and that's what John Morant looked like 3 years ago. Like, true. It's really nice when your star player looks that good right away, because then if you're like Orlando, you can be like, all right, let's like figure out around this guy. Like, we have our dude. Good for you, Paolo. Next is Tyrese Maxey. Just straight up the best sidekick that Joel Embiid has ever had. Least in terms of fit on that team of performance. Like, you could say that Jimmy Butler like was a better player at the time, but like he wasn't. Like, Maxey this year in the regular season and the playoffs looked amazing next to Joel Embiid and without Joel Embiid.
Even when Butler was on the team, most people were saying that Ben Simmons was the second best player.
Yeah, Ben Simmons was really, really good. I'm not saying that Ben, like,
it's, no, but that's what I'm saying. But I think Tyrese is easily, yeah, better. Like, most people, I think almost everyone would say Tyrese is better than what Ben Simmons was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, shit, like, James Harden literally led the league in assists last year. Right. Like, it's not like Joel Embiid has had garbage teammates. It's not like he's playing next to, like, Jamal Murray or, like, Chris Middleton. But, like, I mean, like, dead ass. Like, it's not like he's playing next to Jamal Murray or Chris Middleton. Like, we're talking about all-NBA, all-star-level players.
Yeah.
And Tyrese Maxey, I think, is just the best of all those guys. He looks great.
The three-point shot's real.
Next is Jalen Brunson. Holy fuck.
Is he number one?
He's number two, actually.
Okay. Jalen Brunson. I can kind of see your screen, but not really.
Jalen Brunson is, like, he might be top 10 in the league right now. Yeah. I would sooner listen to that argument than Anthony Edwards, dead ass.
For real.
Like, he looked, I mean, he looks so fucking good.
I know. I mean, he takes so many shots, but, like, still, like, he gets the job done.
They go in. Like, they fucking go in. He's great. And I thought Knicks fans were just kind of glazing during the regular season. I guess they weren't.
He was amazing, actually.
It was an all-time playoff run. And number one is,
it's crazy. Imagine, like, just letting him walk for nothing. Like, where would that team be now?
I know. They'd be fucked.
Maybe, like, conference finals or something. Yeah, or maybe the NBA finals.
You would never be able to find a guard who's, like, almost as good, if not even better than him in a playoff situation.
Right. And then make the finals.
And finally, at number one is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay, that makes sense.
A lot of the talk around OKC this year, and I was even part of it, was like, we haven't seen these guys in the playoffs. Let's slow the roll on these guys.
I mean,
guys,
it's
kind of
true,
bit.
Especially for, like, J-Dub.
Yeah, and Chet.
I think Chet actually had a monster plus-minus. I think one of the best plus-minuses of, like, any rookie ever.
Because I thought he didn't look that good in the playoffs. Like, right. I thought he was fine.
No, that's what I also thought.
Yeah. But yeah, Shai looked like a super duper star when he played. I mean, he outplayed Luka in that series, and that's the worst series I think I've ever seen Luka play. He looked hurt in that series, and then Voodoo magicked his way into looking fine against the Timberwolves.
And now he's got the rest, which is nice for him. Yeah. But I also think, like, Dort is kind of perfect for him, because, like the best defender I've ever seen against Luka was, like, Kawhi, and, like, Dort's got that belt. Like, you need to be strong. You need to be, like, a guard-ish wing who's, like, strong. Like, I think that's the important part.
My only counterpoint to that is, Dort would play, like, 25 minutes a game of that series.
True.
Like, he would get foul trouble so early, like, literally every game.
He's a
dumb defender. He's like a Mitchell Robinson type of guard foul, Mitchell, a guard Mitchell Robinson.
I don't think he's that bad.
He's pretty bad, especially in that series. And obviously, Luka makes a lot of dudes. Like,
I know, yeah. But, he does it to everyone.
Yeah, it says Shai's number one on that list.
Okay, fair enough. I think more of Brunson, because I already thought Shai was better.
Fair. Well, this list is once again ranked by how good I think the player is overall instead of how big of a jump they took.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because the biggest jump for me might have been, like, Andrew Nembhard. Like, I thought he was, like, a bench dude.
Right.
And now I think he has, like, star potential. Like, yeah, you're literally saying. He could end up being, like, an all-star. So,
that's fair.
Yeah, that's my players, I think, higher and lower of list so far through the playoffs. Like, there's dudes like Luka who's been great.
I know, but we knew.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was a bit of a hater, but, like, I knew. And, like, even Derek White. Like, Derek White has been really, really good, but I wouldn't say that I think that much higher of him than I did. Like, he looked this,
I think a little bit higher, for sure.
Yeah, like, marginally higher, but he's not, like, Tyrese Maxey is, like, holy shit. Like,
right.
He looked great in that first round. That 40-point game that he had in game, like, 5 of that series.
Yeah.
Was, like, with the game winners. Superstar shit. Yeah. Look great. I have a bunch more lists to do, unless you have anything else to...
No, I am happy, though, like, for you and your mental, that you didn't put any nuggets on the players you think less of list. That's nice to see.
I was really close with putting Jamal Murray on there, but he said that he's playing for Team Canada this summer, so I can't hate on him too much. I cannot hate on him too much. Yeah, fucking Nuggets, man. I fucking hate that team so much. They're so fucked next year. Every team in the West is going to be so good.
I know. It's crazy. The Raptors have the chance. Scotty's just got to take the jump, and then we can win the East.
Bro, Boston's locked up with this same roster for next year. You might as well just throw them back in the finals. Like, they don't need to play a game next year. Honestly, just shut down the East for next season.
No, if Giannis is healthy and Embiid's healthy, they can play those games.
Yeah, because those will be fun, at least, when they beat those teams. Well, we'll see what Philly does in the offseason. I think Milwaukee's fucked. Like, that roster's only going to get worse from here. Like, what are the chances that Giannis, who's always hurt, and Middleton, who's always hurt, and Brooke Lopez, who's fucking 59 years old, and Dame Lillard, who's kind of always hurt at this point in his career. What are the chances that all four of those players are going to be healthy for a playoff run? And if they're not, they're fucked.
If Giannis and Dame are healthy, you can afford one of Middleton or Lopez to be injured.
So who are they going to replace Malik Beasley with when he walks this offseason? Because he was their starting shooting guard and shot 45% from three all season in that spot.
There's always ways. Like, Dame is so good, like you said. Like, and Giannis is still, like, one of the best players in the league. Like, you can't count them out.
I can count them out.
And you will.
Next time Giannis is healthy for a full play... He wasn't even healthy when they won the championship.
That's true.
He hasn't been fully healthy for a playoff run since, like, 2020. Like...
Yeah, that's true. Losing to the Heat?
Yeah. When they... You know, built the wall for him. No, he was healthy the year after that when they lost to Boston in seven. That series was sick, but Middleton was hurt in that series.
Mm.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think they need Giannis and Dame to both be fully healthy, which is tough enough already. And then they need one. And then they probably need Middleton to be healthy, too. I think Lopez is the same kind of deal as Horford and like Conley, where I don't want to really put too much mileage on him. And I don't think Portis playing more minutes is the answer.
I think Portis is a little overrated.
Yeah, and like they need role players. Their depth was so shit this year, and it's not going to be better. They have no avenues. They're already going to be over the second apron just from the roster that they're bringing back, because they gave Lopez and Middleton a combined like 50-60 million last year, plus the 60 million that they're paying Giannis, plus the 60 million that they're paying Dame.
Which I forgot puts that Dame's contract is so big. Which, it's not 60 next year, though, right? But
like, it's like 56.
Yeah. By the end of it, it's a 6. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the end of it, it's a 6. Yikes. That's not so good. I think next year, I am being a bit of a hater. I think next year they do still have a chance. But honestly, the margins are very slim for them.
Yeah,
in a way,
yeah.
Like, the margins don't seem that slim for Boston.
I know.
Like, they missed Porzingis for, like, this whole run. And he was, like... Maybe their third best player this season.
And they lost two games.
Yeah. And one of those games they've lost one game. They're 9-1 in games that he hasn't played.
Because
the Miami game, he played in that when they lost. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
All right. I have some more fun statistics.
Okay.
So the Boston Celtics, fun fact, are the first finalist since the 2019 Golden State Warriors that were the betting favorite to win the championship for the season. So the betting favorite to win the championship for the past like four seasons in a row have been eliminated before making the finals.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Like, that's a long time span to do that. Because 2019 is the last year, 2019 Warriors. And the last time before 2019 that a team that was like Vegas favorite to win and didn't go at least go to the finals was 2009. So that's a whole decade of Lakers in 2010, then 4 years of LeBron, then 2 more years of LeBron in Cleveland, then 3 years of the Golden State Warriors. All the, like,
those were all the betting favorites to win it all, and they all made the finals.
Yep.
From 2009 through 2019, so 10 years in a row.
Yeah, these stats go back to
2010.
These stats go back to 1985, and they, what do you call it? If you are the betting favorite before the season, you have a 65% chance preseason making the finals, and a 62% chance of winning that series.
Wow.
If you're the betting favorite before the season, you have a 40% chance of winning the championship. But like a lot of these teams,
60 of the 65.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a lot of like we're talking about like 17, 18 Golden State Warriors, or the Big Three Miami Heat, or the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, or the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls. Like a lot of these teams, it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course they were the betting favorite, and
the
of course
Powell. Kobe Lakers too.
Yep, in 2010. Well, that was coming off of a championship the year before.
True.
If you win the championship, there's a really good chance
that
you're going to be better.
That makes sense.
But there's a lot of recent years, like Milwaukee the year after they won didn't make the final. Not since the 18 Golden State Warriors as a team made past the second round after winning the championship. And like Brooklyn had the best chances to win one of those years too when they got Kyrie and Harden.
Right. Yeah,
and they didn't do
sense.
Shit because... Well, like a lot of reasons. That would take too long to litigate all the reasons that they didn't make it. And then, on the flip side of that, the Dallas Mavericks had a plus 2,500 chance to win the championship before this season. That was the betting odds. Since 1985, there's only 7 teams that have had worse betting odds before this season to make the finals that have made the finals, and those teams are 1-6.
Okay, so which one of them did it?
2015 Golden State Warriors, who probably would have lost if Kyrie and Kevin Love were healthy in the finals that year. Fun fact, that's also the last time that a team with that low betting odds played a team that was the favorites going into the championship, which is what Dallas is trying to do. So this is a long way of saying, historically,
Boston's got this.
And usually in six or less games. Even teams like the 2008 Lakers, which is the first of the Kobe Powell Lakers, like they didn't have Powell before the season. So that's almost a wash. And then they're like teams like the 2022 Boston Celtics, like kind of got smoked by Golden State. And the 2021 Phoenix Suns kind of got smoked by Milwaukee. Like, both those series went to six. But, like, by the end of both those series, it was like, it wasn't like, oh, what a close series.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It was the like, right this, team won.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which was 3 years in a row. The Miami Heat, Phoenix Suns, and Boston Celtics, who all lost in 2021 and 22, all were, like, long shots to make it.
So why do you still think then that Dallas going to win? Is it just because the best player?
No, because I'm cheering for Boston. Every team that I cheer for loses. I genuinely think so. I think that that's...
You think your curse is strong enough to beat these statistics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
Fair enough.
I've seen the stats. I've crunched the numbers.
And I've looked into my heart.
Yeah, I mean, like, people who are saying, like, the Boston Celtics aren't the favorites are a little bit crazy.
I know.
But I do think that, like...
It is crazy.
I do think that the series is, like, closer than the statistics that I just gave. Like, I think Dallas at the end of four quarters is really good. And they do have the best player in the series. And usually the team with the best player does win. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make Boston not the favorite.
Yeah.
But I do think Boston... Like, Dallas is the fan favorite. Feels like I would say most fans are on the Dallas...
I think people also just tired of, it's the same thing with Boston. Like, maybe if they win a championship, it'll breathe some life into it. But, like, if they lose again, it's, like, kind of the same story over and over.
I think that people also don't like quiet superstars. I think Tatum, if he was a little more fiery, like, if he had a little more emotion, Tatum and Brown both are, like, kind of, like, go about their business.
But Tatum really loved when he was young and dunking on LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Also, I forget who had the take recently, but somebody was like, oh, what's the last, like, great Tatum moment? It was him dunking on LeBron. Tatum hit a fucking game winner against the Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Brooklyn Nets.
The, like spinning layup?
Yeah, a literal, like, buzzer-beater game winner in a playoff series. You just don't remember that because you're a hater, anybody who says that. Because when I think of the last great Tatum moment, that's what I think of. And maybe I'm also a hater, because maybe he's done something since then. But, like, that's the last great... Iconic Tatum moment. Yeah.
I mean, when he would play us, I mean, yeah, like, that's more recent than when he would play us. But, I remember he would hit so many of those sidestep threes.
And my God, yeah.
And I kind of don't really believe it anymore that it'll go in, but he used to be so good with that.
Mm-hmm. I kind of don't like when he takes threes now. I think he's better when he puts his head down and gets the rim.
He's gotten worse at threes, I think.
Yeah. His mid-range game is still fine, but, like, threes aren't that good. Also, I don't understand why more people don't like Jaylen Brown. I find him very fun to watch. He's like a sneaky athlete, which is crazy.
Right, he's a little bit like Ant Edwards.
Yeah, he's super athletic. He like grinds on the defensive end. Like he's like a fun like ISO creator. I mean,
he's an overrated defender. I think you agree too, right?
Yeah, a little overrated, but I think like he's still a plus defender. And I think they're gonna go with him against Luka a lot in this series.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't think he'll do much better than McDonald's. But he's closer to the Lu Dort, which I said was good.
Yeah, for sure.
Strong.
I think
people don't like people who are overpaid. I think people think he's overpaid. Even though I think he's proving people wrong, especially like conference finals MVP and stuff like that. And like honestly I bet you he got all NBA votes. He was probably pretty close to making the ballot.
If somebody had him over like I think Halliburton would have been the
lowest
of the third team. And like if you had him over Halliburton, I wouldn't complain. I thought Halliburton something happened around the All-Star break. I think it was just say he got hurt. And it carried over until the playoffs. Like, the Halliburton of, like, the in-season tournament in the first 4 or 5 months of the season, like, that guy was on track to, like, get first-team All-NBA votes and almost was a lock for the second team and then fell off a bit.
Yeah. I think it's just the contract, though, for Jaylen Brown. Because I don't remember him getting this much hate. I guess, you're right. Because he got the left hand. People always memeing him about the left hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just kind of true. Is it against the Heat?
Yeah.
In that series, it really felt true. But, Jaylen Brown's really good.
Mm-hmm. Good old Jaylen Brown. What time are we looking at? I have one more thing. Oh, we got time for one more thing. My last little bit that I have prepared for this podcast is... the Jrue Holiday pickup before the season is a genuine, like, title-swinging trade if they win the title. And I would argue the PJ Washington trade is also a genuine title-swinging trade.
Sure.
So I figured out in the past like 5 years, there's about six title swinging, but players who started on a team, like who were traded for it during that season or before the season, played a season or less. The least good of those guys is PJ Tucker, which I think that's a slightly title swinging trade. We'll get to the obviously way bigger trade that they made. But I do think, like, as much as he wasn't great in that Brooklyn series, like, if they didn't have him, like, then they would have just been a little more fucked. And that series, the margins were so close that I feel like, you know, that really helps.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, everyone's like, he played such good defense on Durant, who had, like, 50.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But maybe would have had
more. But, like, they would have had to have Middleton defend Durant otherwise, and then Middleton's not dropping 40 in the final. So it's a butterfly effect. The further up the list so we get, the more actually title swing.
Well, I know who number one is.
Number five is KCP, who was traded for just before last season by Denver. They traded Monte Morris and Will Barton for him. And we actually had Will Barton on our team the year that he got traded. He played, like, 10 games for us. We picked him up randomly. And he was ass. Because do you even remember Will Barton playing for our team? That's how bad he was. And then said they had KCP on their team, who title swing, I would say, really good.
Yeah, he was awesome. Still is awesome.
Number four on the list is Marc Gasol.
So we got two people on this list.
Oh, yeah, we got two people on this list. Big midseason pickup. I don't think we win that series against Philly
without that pickup. For sure.
We probably could have made do in the finals, but even the Milwaukee series, it felt like we needed him a lot. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, Serge was really good. But yeah, like, at that point, the Gasol was the Embiid stopper.
Yeah. And JV's not doing shit against Embiid.
Right.
He's not doing shit. Number three is Jrue Holiday, who has the chance to be on this list twice if he wins another championship this year.
Yep.
Now we're getting into dudes who, like, are unequivocal title swinging.
Yeah.
Like, they might not win more than a playoff series or two, like, without like, these trades.
Yep.
Yeah,
is that for... Oh my god, what was their name? What was that guard they had that would just always drive and everyone hated it when they shot Milwaukee?
I have his name right here.
What is it?
It is Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, that's right. Eric Bledsoe. Thank god they ordered him.
I'll give you the two biggest pieces of the trades because I do have them written down for all of these. PJ Tucker was traded for DJ Augustine and two firsts.
Okay.
Which, like, holy shit, Houston. Good job. Two firsts for PJ Tucker.
True.
Like,
true.
Holy shit. Are you fried out of your mind? Like Dallas traded two firsts this year and got PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford.
Right. PJs get you two firsts, man.
It's crazy. KCP was for Monte Morris and Will Barton, neither of whom actually matter in this league, and that trade was, like, before last season, so, like, really good trade.
Yeah, good job.
Marc Gasol was Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright are the two main pieces. We also trade CJ Miles in a second, but, like, who cares about those pieces?
I mean, at this point, Jonas is way better than Marc Gasol.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, Memphis traded down the line because they got Steven Adams for Jonas Valanciunas.
And then they traded him, too, right?
For Victor Oladipo and a pick, I believe, because they were both hurt this year. I think they got first for it.
Who's their center?
Well, Jaren Jackson Jr., though, historically great minutes at center, just as Team USA from last summer.
Exactly.
Or even Memphis from this year. Like, Jaren Jackson, whatever. They have a good pick in this draft. But, like, first-year centers, maybe a Derek Lively, will happen. I don't think Zach Edey's Derek Lively. I've heard good things about Donovan Klingon, though. So maybe, I don't know. I'm so, like, out of my depth of draft stuff, so I'm just going to shut up about that. Jrue Holiday was traded for Eric Bledsoe in three firsts.
Okay, that's a fair haul.
Yeah, that's tidy work by
It's pretty fair to both teams, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Number two on this list is Anthony Davis.
Oh, that was a big one.
Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, three firsts. Once again, fair to both teams.
Exactly, yeah. And that's crazy that he's not number one.
It's insane that he's not number one. And honestly, like...
It's not even that close.
He's not that close to Jrue Holiday, and Jrue Holiday's not that close to Marc Gasol.
Right.
And then, like, Marc Gasol and KCP, I'd say, are kind of... You could argue that KCP was a bigger part of Denver winning last year than Marc Gasol was of the Raptors winning. I think just the Philly series alone is what puts Mark just above him.
I agree. Because it went to seven and a buzzer beater. Like,
yeah. And Embiid was terrible in that series. Mm-hmm. Like, he was clamped up.
Yep.
But yeah, title swinging trade. And number one is Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, two starters for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a first. Not enough value if you're San Antonio there. It sucks.
Well, it is two firsts, technically, if you want to subtract the Poeltl from it. because yeah. they eventually get a second first.
Do you know who that the first of the original trade turned into? Good, one of the best players on their team right now, which I mean isn't saying much, but
on San Antonio,
yeah.
I forget. I'm forgetting.
Keldon Johnson.
Oh, Keldon nice. Johnson. Oh, okay.
Good work. They actually got a real. That was the 29th pick too, because that's like when we were really good. I think that was 2020. I think that was the season after we won the championship that we gave up our pick for.
Got it.
And Keldon Johnson at 29, like, good job to them. I mean,
is he that good?
At 29, that's amazing value. Sure, yeah. That's really freaking good value. I mean, he's like, I think the floor on him.
Well, the problem is, like, Kawhi wanted out, so you have to get less.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, they got DeMar DeRozan, who was an All-NBA guy that season before.
But then he walks, right? Chicago never trades for him.
I think they trade him for nothing. Like, Garrett Temple, maybe another first, like, other stuff.
Sign and trade, maybe, or something?
Yeah. I think, you know who's in that trade is Thaddeus Young, because Thaddeus Young used to be in Chicago, and then he was in San Antonio.
Oh,
and then we traded for him when he was in San Antonio. We love doing deals with San Antonio, man. We just love it. But yeah, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and then Drew Holiday can also be on this list, too, possibly this
That'd
year.
That'd be huge for him.
Or P.J. Washington. I think either of those guys would fill in the spot between Drew Holiday and Marc Gasol.
Right.
Well, maybe not P.J. Washington.
But you could do P.J. and Gafford together.
Yeah, for sure. P.J. and Gafford are both big trades. I mean, the Kyrie Irving one is a little too far back.
They're separate trades, which is tough. But yeah.
Yeah, the Kyrie Irving one's a little too far back to include, but that's another big title-swinging trade. Also, like...
That wasn't in the offseason?
No. Remember, because they missed the playoffs even with both those guys last year.
Oh, okay.
Because Kyrie asked out.
Well, they shut down Luka.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Kyrie asked out before Durant did. And they traded Kyrie before they traded Durant.
Yeah.
And they got Dorian Finney-Smith in like a first.
Damn.
Yikes. Yikes. Really, 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 really not good.
No. I mean, Kyrie tanked his stock.
Yeah. And they got so much for Durant that's like...
Yeah, yeah, you're not complaining.
Yeah, you're not complaining too much. Like, for the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Also, like, if you look at a lot of the James Harden trades, like, it usually doesn't work for the team that trades him or the team that gets him historically. Right. Ever since Houston traded for him from OKC. Houston trading for him from OKC is one of the greatest trades the past, like, 15 years.
Finessed.
It was like Kevin Martin, Steven Adams, and like...
Well, it was a pick that became Adams, right?
Yeah, which was our pick actually. Which I don't know. I don't know how the fuck Houston ended up with that. Maybe Kyle Lowry.
Or Lowry, maybe. Yeah.
I think it actually was Kyle Lowry, which honestly finessed. Steven Adams, sorry, buddy. You ended up being pretty good, but you were the principal piece in a Kyle Lowry and James Harden trade. So
two franchise guards
somehow played less games for OKC than either of those guys played for their teams, which is insane because right. He played forever in OKC. Yeah. At least it felt like it. Probably was only like 6 or 7 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, especially for like Steven Adams,
right?
Yeah, who's going to be the backup center in Houston next year, as we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Which I'm happy for him, because coming off a major injury, I don't think I'd want him to be playing 30 minutes a game. So, right. Nice.
A nice low expectation.
The only problem is, like, you can't play him and Sengun together at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Even a lick of time. Also, like, rip Jacques Landale. He's lost his backup spot.
Whatever.
You have no love for fucking Jacques Landale. He used to be the
You
backup. Could have
convinced me he's a coach.
I could convince you he was a prospect to come in this year's draft. Yeah. He'll be suiting up for Australia this summer, though. That team's pretty good, too. I mean, they got, like, lots of just lower-level role players that are going to be playing mm-hmm. for them. I think Josh Giddey's going to be the star of that team.
Yeah.
Which will be good for them. They have Josh Green, too. But, yeah, that's it. That's basically it for all the stuff I've written down. What else do we have to talk about? There's got to be something fun. There's got to be some fun stuff that's happened.
I don't know. It's such a dead time because, yeah, like you said, we have so many dates till the finals. So it's like... There's nothing new happening.
I swear something crazy. Let me go on ESPN, see if there's any stories. Let me see if I can show. Oh, did you see Mike Brown got a big contract?
I did see that. With the Kings. Alonzo Mourning got his prostate removed.
Yeah.
Should be cancer-free.
Fuck Alonzo Mourning. But that's a whole different story. He was part of the Vince Carter trade. And he literally refused to play games for us. And so we had to cut him. And he had like a pretty big contract. Like he was like the cap that was used to offset Vince Carter's like max contract. Yeah, so fuck him. But I am glad that he's cancer free. I don't hate him enough to wish that he would die of cancer. Right. So right, like, yeah. He has passed that bar. yeah, good for him. Good
he was only despicable in basketball. And person.
But Bill Walton did pass away.
Oh,
that was really sad news. He was he's a legend. And everything that you hear is like how like
awesome
of a dude he was. And he did a lot of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the, I think he's got to be the biggest injury what if in NBA history. Because he wins a championship and a finals MVP and then wins an MVP like literally the next year, even though he gets injured after 50 games. And then I think he plays 30 games over the next 5 years.
Damn, it's that bad. Yeah. I knew it was bad. Yeah. Portland could be a legitimate franchise.
Yeah. I mean, he has, like, their only ring is from him. Like, mm-hmm. People will say it's Lillard or Drexler, but the only, like, only one dude has an MVP and only one dude's been the best player on championship team there. True. So it's got to be Walton.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I don't think Kawhi's the best Raptor in history. So maybe I'm not the person to speak to that. I mean,
but he's no regular season MVP.
Yeah, it's fair. And also, Walton, like, was drafted first overall pick, played, like, 4 years there. That's a okay amount of time.
Mm-hmm. That is a crazy what if.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I mean, Len Bias is another one, because he dies before he even plays an NBA game, and he was the second overall pick.
Is that the Celtic?
Yeah. Michael Jordan, he got a lot of comps for, but that's, like, 2 years into Jordan's career.
Okay.
But that was, like, his college comp, and, he, like, did a bunch of cocaine the day that he found out he got drafted second, and overdosed that night, like, the day of the draft. Yeah. And then Reggie Lewis on their team dies, like, 5 years later. He's, like, 26, 27 years old, two-time All-Star, like, ascendant player.
Holy shit.
And he had, like, some sort of heart thing, and he went to the doctor, and they're like, you can't play basketball anymore. And then he went to another doctor, and they were like, you can't play basketball anymore. And he went to one more doctor, and they were like,
take it easy.
But maybe. And then he, like, dies in practice a month later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah, Celtics curse. That's part of the reason that they haven't won anything for the past 40 years. They won one championship.
Right.
But, like, the Bird era was supposed to have these two young stars come after, and both of them basically just die, like, young.
Damn.
Which is insane.
Speaking of Bird, pretty cool that Boston now has someone who's gotten the Larry Bird Award.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brown.
If you're a Boston fan, you kind of wish that Tatum got it, but that's fine.
Yeah. To be the first.
Brown deserved it, though. Like, that game winner. Or, no, game tying shot. Yeah, I agree. Like, come on. And as I said, he's overhated. I love Jalen Brown. I love watching him play, I should say. I mean, I'm kind of, like, mid to a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really know much about him at all. But they're both pretty quiet, actually.
He's a really good in-game dunker, though. Especially for a really good start. Like, he's, like, an underrated in-game dunker. They got a team full of quiet people. Like, what's the biggest person? Because they used to have, like, Marcus Smart and Grant Williams.
Yeah.
Grant Williams, yikes.
I know.
The last two teams that he played on are the two teams in the finals. True. And now he's in, like, Charlotte. Like, he's the opposite of PJ Washington.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And both those teams, like, had kind of, like, ran his name through the mud after he left. Like, Dallas especially was, like...
Right, Dallas had more.
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't even think about
it. Tough times for Grant Williams. I mean, he doesn't really give a fuck, I'm sure, but...
I'm sure he does. I bet you he's, like, pissed about this finals matchup.
Yeah, I mean, he's not watching.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has friends on...
That's
on,
true.
At least Boston.
He seemed tight with Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, who is their biggest personality? Like, Porzingis?
Yeah, like, maybe.
Al Horford, maybe.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's Sam Hauser. Maybe I'm just not locked in enough on the role players. Like, I don't even know. Like, even Joe Mazzulla is, like...
Yeah, very chill.
Yeah, very chill.
Low-key.
They're, like, the anti, like, Memphis Grizzlies. Or, like, I'm trying to think of a team that's all big personalities.
Like, the Heat?
Yeah. Yeah, because Tyler Hero's a bit... The thing is, they have Bam, who's, like...
Yeah, who's... Yeah, Bam's pretty chill.
But still... Anyway, excited for the finals. You guys will hear from us again.
I mean, probably the Lakers, after the
finals. Oh, yeah, the Lakers. Yeah, because, like, AD is, like, I'd say mid. He's not, like, a quiet guy, but he's, like, you know. And then, LeBron's obviously very
But then D'Lo's really out there.
Yeah.
I think Dinwiddie's, like, even though, like, he seems like a chill person, like, he's in the media a lot. Like,
yeah,
you hear
for
about
sure.
him a lot.
For sure. Spencer Dinwiddie. What a bum. What a bum. What a... So what do you think the Raptors need to do to be here next year?
I don't know. I think obviously it comes from us trading away Steven Adams. That's why so many teams are trading away Steven Adams.
I know.
It's because that's how you get
That's step one to getting a star player.
And then, I don't know. Who would we trade him for? Maybe like another center?
Yeah, probably. maybe like a backup center. It would have to be another white guy.
You
gotta trade white for white, for sure.
For real. I think maybe send him to the West, because I don't want to see him.
Oh, for sure, the West. But I don't want to screw him. He seems like a nice guy. Let's send him to a nice city. Like,
okay.
You know, like warm weather, big city, like. as close to home as possible, basically. New Zealand, right. Like, across the Pacific.
True.
Oh, man. Yeah. Trade him for...
Daniel Tice.
Daniel Tice. Colin Castleton, if you're Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, man. We're not going to end this podcast by saying Plumlee's name.